Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Today, word of the day is ice skate. To get from my car and from my building that I work in to my car in the parking lot, I needed a pair of ice skates. It's very icy and slippery here in Wisconsin right now and throughout the Midwest, really, as we're getting dumped with freezing rain. So, fortunately, right now here the rain has stopped, but it's definitely not really safe out in the community right now. So, you know, if anyone is listening live, take the advice people are saying and stay home and let the Department of Public Works in your community do their thing and drop salt on the roads to try to make them drivable and make them safe. So that's just what I want to, you know, I guess public safety announcement here. And I don't know about you, Troy, but this time of year, I would much rather drive around if it's snowing than if it's raining. Because here's my reasoning for it. If it's snowing, I know exactly what to expect on the road. It's going to be slippery. I know how to the conditions to drive in. I know what to do. However, if it's raining this time of year, and this is what I ran into at Christmas time when I was going up to my grandmother's. If it's raining this time of year, is it just rain or is it freezing rain? Is it freezing? Is it becoming slippery? I don't know. And, you know, when it's that way, do you drive normally? Then you can end up driving off the road or unable to stop and have problems. Or if you drive cautiously and it's not slippery out, then people get mad at you for driving too slow for the condition. So it's like, what do I do? You can't basically damn if you do, damn if you don't. So I don't know about you, but I want to get your thought. What would you rather do, drive in snow or drive in rain this time of year?
I'd like to have a chauffeur to drive me around. That's what I'd like, Evan. How about that answer? But no, on a serious note, I agree with you. Driving in snow, to me, is a lot easier than rain in the winter because you're absolutely right. We had an incident this morning with a lot of black ice out here in the Pittsburgh area. We didn't have it out where I live in Latrobe, but in the Pittsburgh metro area, a lot of two-hour delays. Black ice is horrid. I've never encountered, knock on wood, I've never encountered a severe case of it. I know that I've driven over it a couple times. You can feel when you do. But I've never been in a severe case of black ice where, you know, my car was out of control. But I've heard stories of people that have, and you can just be trucking along on the road, and boom, you hit the black ice, and you're in a snowbank or you're in an accident due to the fact that your car is now just on ice and it's ice skating rink. So the snow, like you said, it can be treacherous, it can be slippery, it can be slick, but you know that. You know, it's a constant, and you just got to drive careful. But with black ice, you don't know where it's at. And I guess the problem today they had is that the temperature wasn't that freezing, but the ground was frozen. So when it rained and drained off and it accumulated and you didn't have cars going over it, there were spots where it would turn to ice. So it's the winter weather. It's, you know, unpredictable. But like you said, for those of you that are in areas where you're having severe weather, let the road crews do their thing. You know, I know every once in a while in Latrobe they have clear the road warnings so that they can go out and do their things. But, let them do their thing if you're in treacherous weather. If you're listening to us, sit back and enjoy. Evan and I are going to take a break from the NFL tonight, Evan. Well, not really a complete break, but we're not going to talk about the games themselves. We're going to talk about players involved in the NFL, and we're going to talk about some other off-the-court, off-the-field incidents and, you know, just to have a little bit of fun tonight with some of these incidents that are going on in the world of sports. That's how I'll turn it back over to you, buddy.
Yeah, well, the first thing, Grayson Allen, in the news again. For those that might been living under a rock recently, Grayson Allen, he is a player for Duke, and he got in trouble for tripping, and he got suspended indefinitely, which turned out to be one game, for tripping other players. And this isn't the first time he's done it during his career. He's kind of made a habit of it. And he is in the news once again. He was going after a loose ball, and on video it appears, if you're watching it, while he's flying off the court to try to dive for a loose ball, that he may have shoved an assistant coach for Florida State. That is what it looks like. So the question is, are people making a bigger deal than this than what it really is? And I watched the video, and I saw the coach's comment, and I got to go, yes, people are making a bigger deal out of it than it really is. He should not face any repercussions from the school, from the conference, from the NCAA, because he was a hustle play and he ran into the coach. It happened. It wasn't a dirty play. However, Grayson Allen, to me, Troy, and I'm sure I'm not the only one to feel this way, especially as I'm looking at a USA Today article, and I was thinking this even before I looked at this article, because I was thinking about this today. And Grayson Allen has nobody to blame but himself. If none of the trippings would have ever happened, nobody ever gives us a second look. But because it's who it is, because it's Grayson Allen, people have to overanalyze it and talk about his intent. Did he intend to shove the coach? Did he intend to try to hurt him? Is he a dirty player? Should he be suspended? Should he be punished? Should he be whatever? And at the end of the day, like I said, I agree with the coach. It was a hustle play, and it wasn't dirty. However, he's done this to himself. I think the one-game suspension was a joke, to be perfectly honest. I think he should have been suspended more than the one game, and that's just my opinion because it's a reoccurring issue. It's not the first time he's tripped someone. He's done it before. So I want to get your thoughts on him. First of all, is this just people overreacting? Secondly, is this something he's done to himself? And thirdly, what is generally just your thoughts in general with him? Should he have gotten more than that one-game suspension?
Jeez, Evan, you're throwing a three-part question at me. Hopefully I can remember everything you're asking, but I'll just start with this. One game, not enough. It's not enough, and we always talk about these things, Evan, and sometimes they can't be blanket, and they're usually case by case, right? But you played some college athletics. I played and coached college athletics, and you're always trying to do what's best for your team. But at the end of the day, you're also being a coach that is trying to mold people. And I know these are high-class, supposedly athletes and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you what, part of being a coach is to do what's right for your players. At least that's what I think. Maybe I'm off in left field and maybe people think I'm crazy, but I cared about making sure that my players did the right things at all times. That at least that's what I wanted. And some people might think I'm crazy for saying that. But when you're talking about intentional acts, what is one game to a player? Oh, well, one game, big deal. I'll keep doing that. It's not like that doesn't hurt somebody to just get suspended for one game. So to answer that question, not enough. You want to stop the act? You want to stop others from doing the act. And here's where I go with this. You don't want to make example of anyone, but, okay, Grayson Allen, this season's done, Evan. Okay, let's fast forward. The season's done. And another player comes in, and I'm not saying there will be another time or another player, but you get another player that is a little irate and maybe having a bad day or something, and he's thinking to himself, oh, if I do this, I'll only get suspended for one game. Big deal, I'll do it. Maybe he's got a beef with somebody on the other team. Maybe they had a Twitter war, something like that. And he only knows he's going to get suspended one game. So if you want to stop it, you got to put your foot down. If you want to make a point, I don't think the point was made, not one game. Did he do it to himself? Yes. That's all on Grayson Allen. Everything that he has done, you make your own decisions. And there's nobody to blame but himself. And when you're a Division I athlete, especially at an institution like Duke, you're going to be under a microscope. And I'm not necessarily saying that's what you signed up for, but you knew going in and going to an institution to play for Duke that you were going to be in the spotlight. The media will, everything about you. They may analyze what you did walking to class. You're that much in the spotlight, especially at Duke basketball. So you've got to watch what you do. I've always told any players, any teams that I've coached, perception is reality. And right now the perception of Grayson Allen is that he's a dirty player and not the best of, I guess, not the most likable of people. And that goes on him, because in the world, and it's leading into the last part, perception is reality. People overreact, sure. They do every day, I mean, not just in sports. They overreact on everything. And it makes for a great debate. You know, you and I have always talked about that. You may agree or disagree with us, but it makes for a great debate. But, yeah, people overreact all the time. They get up in arms, and that's, I hate to say it, that's the American way now. It only takes one person to overreact, and then they get people jumping on the bandwagon like, oh, yeah, I don't know why we're overreacting, but I'm going to overreact with you. It's human nature now. So to wrap it all up in this Grayson Allen thing, yeah, you're playing at Duke, and you're going to be under a microscope, and everything you do is going to be scrutinized. And we know, Evan, that the bad forefront and the good is pushed under the rug. I mean, how often in sports do you hear about good stories? We've talked about this on the show many times. It's the things that are bad that make national headlines. But if a player, and I shouldn't say never, every once in a while you'll get the good story. But I know there's a lot of college coaches out there and a lot of programs out there that have their student athletes involved in community service, that are doing things for the community, that are doing things, for example, in Pittsburgh with Children's Hospital. Those stories never make it because, I'll put it this way, and I'm air quoting, they're boring. There's nothing to scrutinize. Mm. Oh, they're doing good. But the minute they do something bad, it's going to make a headline because it's controversy. So that's all I have on the Grayson Allen situation.
Yeah, and, you know, just to be, you know, so people know where we're coming at this, the whole issue yesterday with, you know, the play on the bench at Florida State, that was not a dirty play. We're not saying that it was. That was a hustle play, and he ran into the coach. He did not deliberately push the coach. The coach even said it wasn't a dirty play. However, it's his conduct up to this point is the reason why it's even being debated. If he would never have been Mr. Trippy, this is not debated at all, and this is seen as just a basketball play, which is all it is. So moving on, back in the NBA, Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose was supposed to play in the game the other night, I think, not yesterday, but the day before, I think Monday night, he's supposed to play in a game. He in New York. He is apparently AWOL. team officials cannot get in touch with him. They don't know where he is. They don't know what is going on. And later reports come out that he missed the game due to a family matter. And he ended up in Chicago, I guess, had some issue going on with his mom. And I understand, you know, Derrick Rose needs to do, you know, what's right for his family. If mom's sick, mom not doing well, and you need to be by your mom's side, and you got to be by your mom's side. The Knicks fined him. The New York Knicks fined him for missing the game. And people wondering, should he have been fined? Was that the right thing for the Knicks to do? Should they have fined him? Was it wrong? He was having a family issue. Well, here's the thing. Was it wrong for the Knicks to fine him? No. And here's why, and I might sound cold-hearted here, but here's the reason why I say that. And I know he's a professional basketball player, but in my job, and I'm sure your job, Troy, if we no-showed, no-called for work, that is pretty much the same as us quitting. Regardless of the situation, that's what our job's going to see it as. You know, I'm expected that if I need to take off work for any reason, either I'm sick, my mom's sick, my family member's sick, if I had a dog, my dog's sick, whatever, I'm expected to call my employer and say, hey, I'm having a family emergency or I'm not feeling well, I won't be in today. That's really all Derrick Rose had to do. He called Joakim Noah, his teammate, and told him that he was, I guess, in Chicago, but he never called the coach. He never called the GM. He never called Phil Jackson. He never contacted the team, his employer, to state where he is. And obviously, the team can't fire him, but they can fine him. And that's what they did. And they, as his employer, they have that right. And as I said, it sounds cold-hearted, but he missed work. He got, just like if I missed work without calling, I would have a consequence. And I get, well, it was with his, he was dealing with the family issue. But there's no, you know, there's really, and I know calling the employer is probably the last thing on his mind, but there's really no excuse to not pick up a phone and call or text to let them know that you have an emergency that you're dealing with. And again, Troy, I might be sounding cold-hearted here, but, you know, that's just my opinion on the matter. That he, you know, they have the right to fine him, and he should have been fined.
Yeah, no doubt. Not much more I can add to that, Evan, but you're absolutely right. If I decide not to go into work tomorrow and I just don't call anyone, that is considered, no-show, no-call. I've worked in staffing. I've been a director, and a no-show, no-call doesn't warrant in the industry that I've been in getting terminated immediately, but it results in disciplinary action. So you get written up. Well, what do you get? I mean, you don't really write up a NBA player, so you fine him. I have no problem with the fine. I have no problem with the fine. And here's my issue with this, Evan. It's not like Derrick Rose is a 20-year-old kid that's an NBA rookie. This is a veteran player that should at least contact an official of the team to say, I've got something going on. Now, I know, and I've been in situations where things are frantic, and maybe that's what happened. But at some point, you have a downtime to make a two-minute phone call, even if it's a voicemail. And, you know, that's where I guess I have a little bit of concern about, you know, you're not talking about a 20-year-old kid. You're talking about a guy that's been in the league for a while, a guy that is apparently, you know, I guess I'll air quote a mature human being. And so to not contact anybody, yeah, you should be fine. And, again, it goes back to what I said with Grayson Allen in the one-game suspension. You've got to set a precedent that this is not okay. This is not how things operate, and if you're not going to do it the right way, you're going to get fined. Now, will that stop others from doing it? Maybe. Maybe. And, or at least now they'll wake up and be like, oh, at least if I'm going to miss, I better let somebody know. So I understand why he missed, and I have no problem with that at all. I'm not going to chastise somebody for missing a game for a family matter. And every family matter has different warrants as to why you miss, and people have different emotional states of things that they feel are appropriate in their personal life, and to each their own. But at the end of the day, the team had every right to fine him. So nobody, again, Evan, should be up in arms about a fine. It's about the way he handled the situation. It's not that he missed the game. It's about the way he handled the situation, especially if you can't find him and you don't know where he is. So, no, I have no problem with the fine whatsoever.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't mean to sound heartless. That's just my thought on it. And I guess, and kind of going to change gears here because I'm seeing this pop up on Twitter about an hour ago. This came out a little over an hour ago, about 9 o'clock. Adam Scheffler is verified that this is Adam Scheffler's Twitter account, not a fake Adam Scheffler account. That tomorrow, the San Diego Chargers are set to announce that they are going to be moving to Los Angeles, giving the city two teams once again. Last time the city had two teams was back in, I think, 94 or 95, when they had the Rams and the Raiders, and both teams moved due to issues with getting a new stadium and fan support. And now the Chargers, who are having issues in San Diego, due to fan, I guess, not getting a new stadium, is moving to L.A. as well. So if they had issues in the early 90s with, I know the stadium's not an issue anymore, and I'm guessing once built, the Chargers and the Rams are going to share the new stadium. I think that is the plan. But if fan support was an issue back in the early 90s in Los Angeles, where there's like 80 billion things to do a day, and I might have exaggerated just slightly on that, what has changed that now two teams is going to get fan support all of a sudden? I don't think the Rams got a whole lot of fan support this year, and I know the team wasn't very good, but I don't think it was the support they wanted. I think this is a dumb move, Troy, by the Chargers owner. He's the only, football-wise, no other football team really that anywhere, that close to San Diego. They're the only game in town. They got them and the Padres. That's what San Diego has, unless I'm forgetting another professional sports franchise. But you're one of the only games in town. Try to work harder with the city of San Diego and stay in San Diego. Now you're going to be playing second fiddle in Los Angeles, and from my understanding, they're going to be playing in a pretty small stadium while this new stadium is built. So not only are you moving to a new location, but the stadium that you're playing in is going to be smaller, much smaller than the one you're in now, while you wait for your new stadium to be built. And to me, this is just a dumb move. I think it's a move strictly over greed. The team didn't want, the owner didn't want to pay out of his own pocket for the new stadium, and he isn't happy, so that's why he's doing it. Michelle Steele just tweeted out that the Spanos family doesn't have enough money to cover a gap in stadium financing and needs public help, maybe sell the team. That's pretty much what this is to me, Troy, is pure greed from the Spanos family. So what are your thoughts? Do they deserve this? Is this a smart move by San Diego moving to L.A.?
Well, I know they say these big media markets can support two teams, but Evan, I don't agree with an LA having two teams. I look at it, and I know the New York market has two teams, but
you off really quick, two NBA teams, two Major League Baseball teams. Now you're gonna have a hockey team. Now you're gonna have two professional football teams.
Yeah, I don't know why, as an owner, you'd want to put yourself in there. You brought up where I'm at. You're the big fish in the pond, and now you're going to go to the ocean. I mean, that's literally how I see it. You're just going to go out there, and it's about the money. People want to win. That's the bottom line. And, yeah, you might get some initial success and fan support. But at the end of the day, if you're not going to win, they're not going to come. I don't care if you build a 150,000-seat stadium or arena, whatever you want, at some point, yeah, they may come the first year, but to be honest, if you're not going to win year after year after year, you're not going to get the fan support. And now there's so many other things that can go on in L.A. Like you said, you got the Clippers, you got the Lakers, you got the Kings, you've got the Rams, you've got another football team to compete with. So, okay, you have an instant rival. Ooh, big deal. You guys don't even play in the same conference. So is it really a rivalry? I mean, you think about that. Is it really a rivalry? I mean, I know you can say, oh, the city rivalry, the Jets and the Giants, that if they play that game, okay, so be it. I don't like it. You know, moving a team because you don't want to pony up money, you own a team. And if you own a team or you own something, at least I guess this is my thought. I know you want to try to spend as little money as you can because you want to be profitable. But, for example, you own a house and you want to make it better. Well, you invest the money because at the end of the day, if you turn around to sell that in 10 years, your investment 10 years ago is going to pay off in the long run. So the old adage in business, Evan, is you need to spend money to make money. And so pony up.
Mm-hmm.
Pony up and stay where you're at. I think it's a bad move. I really do. Because you're going to a market. Yeah, it's a bigger market, but you've got so many other things going on. And we're just talking about the sports, Evan. We're not talking about any other activity somebody can do on a Sunday afternoon in L.A. You know, and there's stuff to do in San Diego, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to professional sports, I mean, you gear up for Sunday. But now you're in L.A., I mean, what's there really to gear up for unless you are a San Diego or, I guess now, an L.A. Charger fan? You have to be a fan to be geared up because if it's going to come Sunday, big deal. You know, and I don't know, maybe I'm impartial because I'm from Green Bay and I live in Pittsburgh area, and those are the only games in town. So there are the diehard fans that Sunday is the day. But I don't like the move, Evan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I got to say.
Yeah, and with that, we are about running out of time. And I'm going to finish the show with a very – it's going to be probably a very unpopular opinion. Just my final thought before I give it to you to, you know, give your very quick reaction and then let the listeners go. But there's a petition going around to pull Joe Buck and Troy Aikman from the broadcast of this game because they, quote, hate the Packers. Well, to me, it's stupid. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman do not hate the Green Bay Packers. They do not hate your team. We sound petty when we're doing this. We sound petty. They don't hate the Packers. Now, I personally am not a fan of Joe Buck when it comes to football. I think he's a tremendous baseball announcer. I just don't like him when it comes to football. Just not my style. But they do not hate your football team. So that's just my unpopular opinion of the day. You know, the fact that people try to argue that opinion makes them look very petty, and it's an embarrassment as a Packer fan that this petition is being pushed around. So your thoughts, very quick thoughts on that, and then you can let the listeners go.
Yeah, I don't think any announcer hates a team, Evan. I mean, could Troy Aikman be biased during the game because he's a Cowboy? Sure. I don't care. I really don't care what the announcers do, Evan, while they're calling a game. Because it's not going to change the outcome of the game. And if you're sitting there and, yeah, I get frustrated sometimes with announcers, but honestly, here's my answer. Who cares? Who cares? If you don't like what they're saying, then you know what? Turn the radio on. Turn it on to the Packer radio station or go online and listen. So people may really think I'm crude for saying that, but I don't care. Now don't get me wrong. I like a good announcer, Evan. It really can make a game much more enjoyable to watch. And I've never done it, but if I ever got that frustrated with an announcer, I would just turn the volume down and watch the game. I'll just watch. Do I like to hear the commentary? Sure, I like to hear it. And, you know, sometimes are announcers biased? Sure. Sure they are. I don't think they hate any team, though. But, you know, I think for the most part, announcers, when it comes to what they're saying, is pretty honest stuff. You know, like you said, you're not a fan of Joe Buck. You don't like his style. Nothing wrong with that. There's some announcers, I'm not going to name names, where I see they're doing a game and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, I'm going to have to deal with this. I'm just going to have to deal with this for the next 2 hours. And, again, if I don't want to deal with it, they'll turn the volume off. It's as simple as that. But with that said, Evan, tomorrow night, great show. Great show tomorrow night because we get to preview the Packers another week. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. Hopefully it's not the last Packer preview, but it very well could be. But tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, Packer Cowboy game preview, Evan. I can't wait. I can't wait for it. It'll be great to get together tomorrow night, talk Packers Cowboys. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Fasten your seatbelts. Put your foot on the gas. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Enjoy your night, everyone.